Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the day the Lord has made, and we will still rejoice and be glad in it, no matter what. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't it great to be here again? Be back in God's house? Be encouraged? I was here at CR Tuesday night. Man, that worship once again, off the charts. Pastor asked me how long one of the songs was. I don't know. We really entered into worship, and it was so cool. So, it's good to be here again. And we're continuing in the Gospel of John, just started it last week, and we need to really tie in what we talked about, what Pastor Rick talked about last week with this week, because it's not like there's two separate thoughts, it's all together, and you got to bring them together. A lot of the Gospel of John, you've got to connect this part to that part to get the whole story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's that talking about? Yesterday. Jesus, right? It's all about Jesus, right? If our world, this is not in my sermon and not my PowerPoint, Cindy, if the world today would focus more on Jesus, the world would be a whole lot better place, right? If everybody would just focus on the Lord and His instructions on how to treat people, how to love people, how to have justice and righteousness, man, it would be a lot better place. But He is the Word. And through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. I'm not going to read the whole section from last week. We heard a sermon on that. But he is life, and he is light, right? Only life is only found in Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. And light is only in Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, right? And we praise God that he is the light. Is there darkness around us? Oh, man. The darkness is greater and more of a problem than a coronavirus any day, right? It's the spiritual darkness we're living in this world that is something else. So we need to have our light shining. And our lights come from Jesus and only Jesus. Amen. All right, so that brings us then actually to one more verse in John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Father who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You'll hear that again today, grace and truth. So the Word became flesh. He set up His dwelling. In the Greek, it literally means set up tent with us in His flesh. Jesus did at Christmas. And what holiday is today, by the way? Oh, it's Father's Day. Wait a minute. Last week was Christmas. What? Huh? And today's Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all you dads. Crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. Well, it's really weird seeing all these masked people out there. It really is. Wow. Yeah, I'm sure you are. Anyway, so it's all about Jesus Christ and His glory. So that ties in now to today's lesson. And by the way, Cindy had a lot. We talked about the sermon. She had all these ideas about John the Baptist and themes and everything else. And usually, Cindy, every time I preach on this text, I've done that. I preached at John the Baptist so many times. But I want to do what John the Baptist said to do and focus on Jesus and not on Him. So I'm going to talk a little bit about John the Baptist, but it's all going to be about Jesus. Because that's who we focus on. That's who we worship and adore. Okay, so John testifies concerning him. He cries out, not whispering, not sort of a meek and mild little message. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" Say, what? What? I'm going to read that again. "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" So his predecessor becomes his successor and one even infinitely more important, right? So John the Baptist was older than Jesus physically, but who was around from eternity? It wasn't John the Baptist, it was Jesus. So, yeah, John the Baptist was born later. Here we go with dates again. So his birthday was before Jesus, but Jesus is older than him. Say, what? But that's because Jesus is eternal, the eternal Word, which is really cool. In the Old Testament, Jesus Oh, sorry, social distancing, I can't do that. Jesus is oftentimes called the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, right? So you got to remember that when you're reading the Old Testament, that many times Jesus is all over the place. Four men in the fiery furnace. Who was the fourth man? Jesus, right. Before he was born as a baby in Bethlehem, right? So Jesus is all that. He is awesome. He's incredible. So, John testifies him and says, you know, he came after me, but he surpassed me, and he's going to talk more about that later. But verse 16, from the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. Now, there's all kinds of different translations for this. And let's see. Can we go back one? Go back, please. Go back. Go back. Grace upon grace. Some say one blessing after another. Some have different words for it. But one translation talks about grace upon grace. Out of His fullness, we've received grace in place of grace already given, or grace upon grace. So what does that mean? There's a lot of grace to be had, right? A lot of it. So if you need some, guess what? You came to the right place. And guess what? It's pretty amazing grace. I love the song Amazing Grace, but I don't like how the world misuses it. It's like if they want to be kind of sort of spiritual, everybody sings Amazing Grace. But every time I heard it in a public setting, not in a church setting, I wonder, do they really understand what that song's really, really, really talking about? It's not just some cultural icon of our society and our history. It's Amazing Grace. How sweet that sound really is. But as Pastor Rick has said a lot, many pastors, many churches have misused and trampled on grace. They interpret it to mean, just go and do anything you want to and God's fine with it. He's not fine with it, and John the Baptist is there to remind us of that. Grace in the Bible is undeserved love, undeserved favor actually, undeserved favor, but it's also more than that. There are other times in the Bible where grace is not just about undeserved favor. It's this power and enablement from God that we don't have in ourselves. So there's grace not only to be saved, but there's grace to be able to live as a Christian, where He gives us the grace and the power to go on. When Paul had the thorn in the flesh, whatever that was, and kept praying to God to have it miraculously done away with, what did God say? My grace is sufficient. What does the word sufficient mean? It's good enough, right? It's good enough. So, if we have Jesus in the middle of whatever we're going through, and Caleb has been really awesome this past week, hammering that message all day, which I needed all day, just kept that radio on, and Caleb, or KFLR, it's just KFLR, I think, this week, and it's just on and on. No matter what you're going through, no matter what happens, Jesus is enough. Good times, bad times, Sunday morning, Monday morning, Jesus is enough. His grace is enough. Does our world buy that? No, but they're going to have, hopefully they'll see it in us. Grace is enough. Does God promise every time we're sick we're going to be healed? No. But does God heal miraculously? You betcha. He certainly does. That's grace. We're going to get in that a little bit. So it's grace upon grace. And I'll come back to that. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the law was given to Moses. We know the story of Sunday school from Moses, about Moses, right? He goes up the mountain, and he's gone for a long time. Children of Israel say, hey, let's have a party. There's no God. Let's make up our own God, the one we can see and touch and control, and then we'll be okay. Were they okay? No. Moses comes down. He's so ticked off. He breaks the tablets of stone of the Ten Commandments. Has to go back. God says, did you make a copy of that, by the way? So God had to write another one and give it to Moses. Moses comes down, and he was shining with the glory of God so much they couldn't look at him. And the children of Israel had a chance to hear from God themselves, but they said, no, Moses, you take care of that. You go up there and you do that God stuff, that spiritual stuff. I'll be fine. We'll be fine without that. No, And so they missed out on the blessings of God. Hello. I know you guys are a lot of tired, but I'm pretty sleepy today. Wake up. It's the math. Well, that's true. Yeah. It's like, oh, everybody's sleepy. We need some oxygen, I think. Gerald, maybe you should turn the air down to like 60 or something. I'm just kidding, Don. Just kidding. Okay, where was I? Oh, yeah. Moses and the law. We need the law. The law came from Moses. We need it. It came from John the Baptist. The law, I was taught this in confirmation class, SOS. The law shows our sin. It's like a mirror. One time, I cut myself shaving and didn't look in the mirror after I did it. And I went to work and blood down the side of my face. I go, are you okay? I go, yeah, what's the problem? Well, you may want to look in the mirror. I go, oh my goodness, that. The mirror shows us what we really are like. We think we're all that. I'm fine. And then we look in the mirror and, oh, I'm not so fine. And then we try to get rid of the mirror, right? I don't want to look at that mirror after all. But the mirror shows us who we really are. The gospel, SOS, shows our Savior. So the law shows our sin. The gospel shows our Savior. So we need both. We really need both. So the law came from Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There are two things here we need in our world more than anything. Grace. We were just talking about, and truth. Who do you believe? Who do you trust nowadays, right? About anything, it seems like. And grace is talked about quite a bit in the early part of the Gospel of John, and then it's not mentioned the rest of the Gospel of John, although it's there in Jesus. But truth is, I think, 53 times in the Gospel of John, truth is mentioned. And especially when Jesus told Pilate that he came here to testify to the truth. That's what his mission statement was, okay? So grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That was mentioned in yesterday or last Sunday's sermon, in the section of Scripture. Must be pretty important. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And thanks be to God for that. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. So no one has seen God the Father, right? He is so full of glory and honor and holiness that if we would see Him, we would die. In fact, Moses said, Lord, I want to see Your glory. And God says, you know, Moses, that's all good. That's, I appreciate that. You couldn't take it if I showed you all My glory. So He said, I'll pass by. You go into this little rock, this cave, and I'll just show the back end of My glory, just a little bit of it. And the glory was so awesome. The goodness, actually the literal word in the Hebrew is the goodness of God. His goodness is so overwhelming that we can't take it in. I had a good friend who was on Power Road. And on Power Road, he was driving a truck, Jim Whitney, had an experience with God. And God says, you may want to pull over. I'm going to show you how much I love you, Jim. Pulled over, started bawling and weeping like a little kid, like a little boy. And he tried to explain it to some people he went to Crucial with, and most people couldn't get it. Like, what are you talking about? It's kind of weird. But I knew what he's talking about. Sometimes when we're in God's presence and so overwhelming in worship, when we sing a song, we'll see you guys kind of tear up and it just moves us so much in worship because God's presence is there, right? And that's the goodness of God. He's so wonderful, absolutely wonderful. We need to bask in His glory. So we can't see God, but every now and then He shows us His glory. He's always with us, but sometimes His presence is overwhelming and we can't speak. And we just stand in awe. And all we can do is enjoy it and celebrate it and soak it in, right? Just soak it in. I missed the jail so much because every Friday night was a revival. And we would have God's presence every single Friday night. So God has shown Himself in Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is Himself God and He has the closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known. I wanted to read from a commentary by Paul Kretzmann, an old-fashioned Missouri Synod professor, but he's really right on about the Word of God. And I wanted to read about this, about a little bit of what he talks about. Okay, let's see. He talks about and says, John was no way seeking his own light, his own glory and benefit, but only that of the Savior. For the true light, the light every man was been coming, was on the way. at this time, when John was bearing witness to Jesus, he was already in the world. And he talks, goes into that. And he talks about Jesus and the Father. He said there were to receive... Excuse me. I lost my place here. Oh, that's not there. Here we go. Wrong page. Okay. Out of the fullness of Jesus, we all believers, have received grace upon grace. The river of grace flowing from the Savior is always full of water. Unlike some rivers we have here in Arizona, right? They're called rivers. I came from Illinois here. I go, this is a river? There's no water. How can he have a river without water? Oh, there'll be some part of the year, and then there'll be a lot of water, lots of water. But most of the time, there's no water. I go, that's crazy. It took me a while to kind of figure that out. God's grace, the river of God's grace, is always there. There's always grace for you. There's always enough grace. Grace upon grace, right? You'll never go to that river and go, oh, sorry, we're out of water today. Come back tomorrow. Maybe no grace for you. Maybe grace later. But some people act like that, like, I'm such a terrible sinner. I've made so many mistakes. I've done so many bad things in my life that God can't forgive me. Is that true? It's amazing grace. Not that we abuse it, misuse it, but it's there. It's always there, all the time. But never runs dry. And this river of grace is there over and over and over. And because there's so much sin in the world, all the more there's a need of that grace. Where sin abounds, the Bible says grace all the more abounds. So you've got a lot of sin, there's a lot more grace. And more where it came from. Because it came from the heart of the Father. Amen is right, right? It came from the heart of the Father. The real essence of God is love. Holiness, yes, but His essence is love. And it's awesome. And this commentator talks about the fact that when you see Jesus, you see the Father. It's not like, well, the Father's up there and Jesus is down here. Because one time Philip said, you know what, Jesus? Right before Jesus was being crucified, after 3 years of being in seminary with Jesus, Philip said, if you just show us the Father, then we'll be satisfied. What an insult that was, right? Then we'll be satisfied. Like right now we're not satisfied with you, Jesus. You show us the Father, then we'll be impressed. And what did Jesus say? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so there's never been a time, this commentator goes on and talks about it, there's never been a time when Jesus was not in the bosom of the Father, he talks about it. That they were intimately connected in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, before Jesus was born. And even while Jesus was on this earth, He still was connected and one with the Father. Now, if you can explain that to me, please do so. Because I don't understand it, but it's true. That's part of the inner fellowship of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, but one God. Not three gods, but one God. I don't understand it, but it's all over Scripture. And so, the point of all this is, what's the point of it in your life? You've got God with you all the time. You've got a God that loves you so much, and God that loves me so much, and loves this world so much, and just waiting for people to turn from their sins and come to Jesus to ask for the Father's help. It's like if we have kids that are in trouble, and they fall, they skin their knees, and they're bleeding, and they're hurting. Unlike that commercial where the lady's so in love with her cat, and she says, I just put a Band-Aid on it, that can be all right. And it's still bleeding, put on another one. No, that's not the Father. He sees us falling, and he hears the cry of His children. When a good parent will hear that cry and will know the cry of their child more than any of other kids. At a daycare center, all these kids are crying. It'll point out, it'll know their cry, their child's cry, right? And run to that child. And look out when Mama Bear comes. Get out of the way, because she's going to protect her child, which is good. The Father hears the cries of people who've been lost for so long. The cries in jail, the cries in prison, the cries on Van Buren, the cries in Paradise Valley. Doesn't matter. And He comes running. The Father comes running for us, as He did for the prodigal son. And He runs to us. We don't run to Him. He runs to us. And with open, stretched arms. And we can receive that hug with no social distancing or spiritual distancing. There's a lot of spiritual distancing going on, isn't there? 6 feet, God, or more. I don't want to get too close to you. because that glory might rub off on me and something might happen to me that I may not be comfortable with or somebody else. We need God more than ever, right? We need Him more than ever before. So, what John is saying is, he says, don't look to me, look to Jesus. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I'm not the Messiah. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? He said, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Well, what is this all about? Well, it was prophesied in the Old Testament that a prophet would come in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way. Well, these guys, like everything else, the Jewish leaders got it all confused, and they made some cult thing about Elijah being raised from the dead, and when he's raised from the dead and he shows up, then everybody will believe. And it was a political thing, and it was not spiritual. So that's why John the Baptist didn't go into it and say, yeah, well, I'm kind of like Elijah. He didn't even go there. And then it says, are you the prophet, with a capital P? In Deuteronomy, I think it was 18:15, it talks about that eventually, one day, a prophet, capital P, would come, and to him people would really listen, that there would be the greatest prophet of all, namely Jesus. And so John the Baptist said, nope, I'm not him. And then who are you? They were trying to figure this guy out, because he's got quite a following. John the Baptist is in the desert, in the Jordan River, baptizing people. People are coming and coming and coming. They're going, wait a minute, he didn't go to our seminary. He doesn't have a degree. He's not a reverend doctor. He can't do all this stuff. How come? He doesn't have ordination to baptize. Well, who did John the Baptist get his ordination from, his ordination papers? Up here. Not some building down there. It came from heaven, right? He was called by God, and boy, was he called. And because he operated in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, was he kind of weak about his message? He hammered it, right? It was about repentance, about a baptism of fire, and he baptized people to get them ready for Jesus. It was a little bit different baptism than what we have. It was a baptism of repentance. And he cried out to people, called out to people, yelled out to people in the desert wearing that camel hair coat. Oh, that just... That's like mohair. I hate mohair. It's like, why do people use that as a fabric for sweaters? It's itchy, it's scratchy, right? Oh, it just makes me... I feel it right now. Let's go on. Well, what did he... Maybe we'll talk about his diet. That would be more pleasant. Oh, no. No, that doesn't work either. Yeah, locusts and... Oh, honey, though. Honey dipped, I guess. But anyway. He was different. And so the whole idea was, you're not coming here just some sort of another religious leader on KFLR or some radio station preaching sort of a, it's all fine, it's all wonderful. He had a message of repentance. And so he doesn't care what they think about him, does he? So John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I'm the voice of one calling in the wilderness, from Isaiah, make straight the way for the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. There we go. Thank you for staying with me, because I've been kind of all over the place. God prepares the way. And John the Baptist saying, he's just a road marker. That's all John the Baptist says. This is the road over here. This is the road over here. It's over here. One time there was a bridge that went out. And there were some people who were driving and driving right down the abyss, one after the other. And finally this guy came out and he ran out on the highway and was trying to flag people down to try to stop them. Said, no. And people go, look at that idiot. What's his problem? You have some fanatic here. You know, he's... What's his problem? I don't know. I wouldn't act like that. Well, he was acting out of urgency, trying to get people's attention to save their lives. And some listened, and some didn't. John the Baptist cries out, the road is out. Your religious road, the way you're going, is straight to hell. Don't keep going on that road. Please stop. It's like, whatever it takes, I'm trying to get your attention, right? Didn't matter if it was a Roman centurion or some peasant, John the Baptist had the same message for everybody. Repent. Turn your life around before it's too late. So that was the message of John the Baptist. Prepare the way of the Lord. Preparation is really important. One of the things that I've learned, and it took me a while to finally get in my head and do it, is that getting ready for the week on a Sunday night, take a half hour or just 15 minutes preparing for the week. Whether it be clothes set out for Monday, going through my calendar, where I need to be and when, and getting prep I have some preparation being prepared for Monday morning. Because it used to be Monday morning. Oh, what am I doing? Where am I going? What? And it was prepared and it was all ready to go and it made a big difference. If somebody's building a road, the preparation before they build that road is important, right? To have everything all laid out so it's a smooth road and it'll last a while. Our parking lot, it's crazy, you know. The cracks, how quickly those cracks develop. And we had a guy at our church in Ahwatukee that worked with parking lots and he talked about this. You've got to really get the sealer deep down in the crack and not just like some guys would come in and just lay a thin veneer over the crack. Well, that doesn't help. You have to fill the cracks, right? All this preparation. Well, that takes too long. It costs too much. Well, if you want it fixed right, that's what you have to do. The same way with our spiritual lives. If our foundation's been all messed up, if the road of our lives has gone way off track, then guess what? We need to look to God and do what is necessary to get back on the road. You mean I got to go to church every Sunday? Well, you don't got to, but you may want to. You mean on Wednesday? Wednesday, a Bible study? What I thought this just wasn't. Isn't it enough on Sunday? No, it's a daily thing. It's like saying, well, we're going to have Sunday dinner today on Father's Day, but that's your only meal. Well, we'll meet again next Sunday, right? We need to eat all the time. We need to have spiritual food all the time, right? All right, so John the Baptist was just getting people ready. That's all he wanted to do. And now the Pharisees have been sent questioning him. Then why do you baptize? They're really hung up on this. Like, you're not part of us, so where's your authority coming from? They just don't get it. Why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He's the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. Now, who is that talking about, obviously? Jesus. So there's somebody coming here. I baptize water. He's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. So watch out for him. Get ready for him, and we'll hear more about that next week with the baptism of Jesus, right? It all ties together in the Gospel of John. It's pretty cool. So we need to get ready. He says, get ready for Jesus. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. John the Baptist, the older cousin of Jesus, knew his place. If people just knew their place in the world, their purpose in the world, who they are and who they're not. Rick Warren wrote a book, remember that book, The Purpose-Driven Life? And the number one principle of that book is, guess what, point number one, it's not about you, right? Remember that? Not about you. Find your purpose in something bigger than you. Find your purpose in the Lord and how you can be used by God in simple ways, everyday ways, and then look out what happens. Well, in this whole message, it's grace upon grace upon grace, that no matter what we go through, God will be there for us, right? That Jesus is there, He's lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Is this the end of the world? It feels like it, but it's not yet, right? And Psalm 46 talks about though the whole world would fall apart and the mountains fall into the depths of the sea, God is still there. No matter what, that He's our refuge, He's our fortress, He's our strength. And they've been hammering this in KFLR all week, this past week, every day. The go to God. Keep going to God. When you feel scared, go to God. Feel worried, go to God. Get distracted by all the news and all the craziness of the world, go look to God. Focus on Him. Have faith in Him. Keep focused on Him. Have faith in Him. Keep focused on Him and have faith in Him. That's the message. And may we continue it. Amen.